to do this. She kind of wanted to ask me my experience as mom. So I've had a lot of experiences as mom. But one chapter I like for the women to get, and Pastor put it on our bulletin today or on Facebook today, is a Proverbs 31 woman. Everybody's familiar with that? Okay. I've tried all my life to be that kind of a woman. Because the first thing I wanted was that my husband loved me. That lasted for a few years. That my children would know me. They're still around. And the things that I did would be counted for something, that I just wasn't another person walking around. So I wanted that the glory of God would be seen in me in whatever I did. Okay? Whatever I said. When I sing, I don't want it to just be another song that you listen to. When I talk to you, I don't want it to just be another word that you just heard somebody say. You know, if I walk in your presence, I'm just somebody else that you know, because I've been a person for the last, most of my life, I've been a person that if I walk in a room past a baby, the baby will stop crying. They'll look at me. A baby may follow me all the way to where I'm going, and follow me all the way back to where I am. And I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, what is that the baby is seeing? And I've been a person that always with my hands up. So I think I've had babies that when they saw me, they automatically raised their hands. You know, but the thing that I want everybody to see, and I was thinking last week of, we don't hear people say, I thank God for being filled with the Holy Ghost no more. Hardly, right? I want to thank God for being filled with the Holy Ghost. I want to thank God right now for being baptized in Jesus' name, having gone down. I want to thank God for being a new person in Him. I want to thank God that He didn't let me grow up being a mean person. And I've dealt with children all my life, and some people tell me my voice was just too soft to deal with children. But, when you look at children, it's how you as a grown-up and them as a child, how's God looking at you? How is God looking at you? When you call your child stupid, how is God looking at you? When you tell your child, you know, some women, you see them cussing at the babies, and sometimes I want to run up and grab the babies and hold on to them because they're precious in the sight of God. You know, just like we want to be precious to somebody, the babies are precious in the sight of God. And I want to thank God and give God praise too. You know, I've been a mom. My mother was a mother that led by example. Led by example. My mom was the kind of mom that, and I was telling the children downstairs that my mother sometimes she'd be walking around and she'd start speaking and she'd just say, I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. And no matter what was going on at the time, it was, I love you, Lord. And she'd be driving down the street and she'd say, I love you, Lord. I love you. So that got embedded in me as a child. And I praise God for that, because my mother, you know, I was just thinking this morning of examples of that were passed down. You know, we learn how to cook from mom, right? Most of us. We learn how to cook from mom or grandma, right? Amen. So we learn how to do that. Sometimes God wants what God wants all of us all the time as mothers, and especially as saved moms, to walk around like He's walking in us, and we want to believe that He's walking in us. So when our children are going through things, or our husbands are going through things, or whatever, that we can be, you know, you don't want to equal Him, but you want to balance. You don't want to equal, you want to balance. You know, we've got this thing with equal rights right now, but with a woman that's with a husband, a Proverbs 31 woman will balance her husband out. When he's down, she's up, or she knows how to encourage him. When she's down, he knows how to encourage her. Amen? Amen. And my mom was the kind of mom one of our children, my mother's the mother of 12 children. Thank the Lord I didn't do that. But thank the Lord I didn't do that. But we had one sister in my family that was had rheumatic fever as a baby. And so this put a hole in her heart. So this child was always sick, always, you know, we lived in children's hospital, basically. So she had the hole in her heart. The person was the size of a quarter. And then it got down to be the size of a nickel. By the time she was 16 years old, she weighed 76 pounds. And the hole in her heart was the size of a dime. But during all of that time, my mother didn't say things foolishly to the Lord, but she raised her. Her name was Sandra, and we called her Sheila. But Sheila was a girl. Pastor, do you remember Sheila? Okay. She was a girl, a young lady that was very prayerful, very, very prayerful. Had her Bible all the time, testifying in school or doing whatever. You know, it was for her to do as a godly child. This child was filled with the Holy Ghost in her early years. So God used her in a lot of ways, you know, to minister to other people. And even though she was sick, she was somebody that was always encouraging somebody, you know. And I learned after she died, she had given my phone number to her girlfriends at school, that if they ever needed somebody to talk to, call my sister JoJo. And she gave him my number. You know, my phone, when she died, my phone rang. And, you know, so I was able to be an encouragement to even her friends in her death. And I want to thank God for her. But seeing my mother attend to this child sick, you know, we were at the hospital all the time, and we didn't call the ambulance a lot of times, you know, but we were always at the hospital. The doctors and the nurses knew Sheila, knew Sandra, you know, or whatever, you know. We'd be walking out of the hospital and somebody go, "Hi, Sandra." And if she was going to the hospital, she had her own room. So if somebody was in that room when she got there, you know, they just kind of moved him out of the room and put Sheila in this room. But I praise God, you know, she was even a witness to her doctors, the people that were around her, you know. And she died, when she died at the age of 16, she died on October 7th. And I had my baby Erica on October 8th. And so what was going on then was Sheila was being, the care that I saw my mom give Sheila now was transferred to me. Because now I had a sick baby too. She was an 8-month baby, so she didn't get fully developed, you know, but she was a sick baby. So she came here with a disease that was called nephrotic syndrome. And what nephrotic syndrome was a kidney ailment. So what it would do is with a little amount of whatever was going on with her, she'd blow up really big. At 18 months old, we found out she had this disease. So she'd blow up really big. Everything was big but the skin right here on her forehead and her fingers. Her fingers did not get big, but the rest of Erica's body was huge. You know, so we've always had to have two or three sets of sides of clothing that she could wear. You know, but in that, one day when she was about 2 years old, maybe about 2 or 3 years old, we were going through a drawer in the house, and Erica pulled out these little pair of panties, and she said, "These look like Sheila's panties." She didn't know Sheila. She did not know her at all. The day Sheila died was the day that Erica was born. You know, but I praise God, you know, when that kind of was a shock to me because she didn't know Sheila. You know, so when Erica was born, and her being sick all the time, I was going through the same thing that my mother was going through as far as being with a sick child. But you know what? My prayer was, "I love you, Jesus. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. And no matter what was going on with Erica in the hospital, it was, I love you, Lord. But every time my baby got sick and had to go in the hospital, you know, the things that they would do for us, just hook her up to an IV, give her this medicine called whatever. Anyways, it would kind of make all the water flush out of her system. So she'd be in the bed the whole time. And you know what I would be doing? Walking around talking to other mothers. Encouraging them, you know, come, you need to be at the hospital with your baby. Where are you? You need to be at the hospital with your baby. These nurses don't have time to sit down and just hold your baby. Where are you? You need to be here at the hospital with your baby. So, you know, and then my baby would get better, and I thank God, because if her body blew up like this, she stopped peeing. And y'all excuse the word, but she stopped urinating, you know. And I would, when my baby start going to the bathroom, I go to church on Sunday morning, and I praise God because my baby peed. I praise God, and I praise him because my baby peed. You know, and I thank God. So as we went on, and being a Proverbs 31 mom, I still had to go to work. I had to go to work. I worked a full-time job every day of the week. I went to work. I went to church. I went to the hospital. I stayed at the hospital, left the hospital. And the saints at church were wonderful, because when I left, some of them came in. To you know, and it's important. I was thinking about that this week, too. It's important for us to be able to step in as moms. We're not coming in to do your job, but we're stepping in into your shoes if it was just for a moment. If it's just for a moment, we're coming to step into your shoes. Or for the younger ones, we're teaching you. We're, as older women, we want to be teachers of good things. So as your older women, we're teaching you how to step and fill your own shoes. How to step. So if I come to you and say, blah, 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 I'm not coming to get all in your business. I'm just coming because that's what God requires of me to do. Okay, so I'm not coming to and make you angry. I'm not coming. If I'm coming to you to talk about you, with you standing on God, we have got to be Proverbs 31 women all the way around. Do y'all hear me? Our husbands have got to speak great of us. Our husbands have got to be able to trust us with his money. Amen. Amen. In his house, amen. Keeping the house clean, amen. These are things that women, God gave us. The man is to be the provider of the house, but we're guiding this house. We're guiding this house. Okay, so that don't mean that you got the kids going in and clean up this, going in and do this. You're teaching them how to do it, but that's your house. You hear me? That's your house. It ain't the kids, not all the kids' responsibility to keep this house clean. That's your house. As a mom, as a mother, you're teaching, and whatever we're doing, we're doing by example. My mom was a good example. When I got married, my mother came to my house. I got pregnant right away. So my mom would come to my house, and she'd go in the refrigerator, and she'd check the refrigerator. If it needed cleaning out, Joe, you need to clean your refrigerator out. My mother would go in the cabinets to make sure I had food. My mother would go inside your bedroom and go in your drawers to make sure your drawer wasn't all messed up and all scrambled up. You couldn't find nothing if you tried. My mother was the kind of mother that would come and make you, and we made up our beds. If it wasn't made up to her satisfaction, guess what? Tear it loose and you start all over again. You know, I went on a women's retreat with some sisters from another church, and I was so shocked at how many of the women or young ladies didn't even know how to make the beds. I was so shocked at how many of the women, and you know, we got fitted sheets now, right? All you have to do is pull it down over the mattress. You ain't got to do all of that folding. All you got to do is pull it down over the mattress. But we, you know, it's like they you know, some didn't know what to do. Didn't know that you have a top sheet and a bottom sheet. You know what I mean? And the blanket don't go in between the sheets. It goes on. The blanket don't go in between the sheets. It goes on under, you know, on top of the sheets. But it's just so many things. So us as mothers have got to a lot of the plates and a place that we're trying to fill up. We got to do more. And coming as being mothers, because your girls are going to be just what they see you are. If you're a nasty mom, guess what? You got nasty girls. If you're not a good housekeeper, guess what? Your girls won't be either. And it's important for us to teach boys how to do these things too. Amen? But to be teachers of good things is what God wants us to be as moms. And I heard a preacher talking this morning on TV about teaching our children, you know, and back in the other days, they wanted you to write it upon the tables of their heart. That means put the word so the kids can see it. And it ain't the teacher's business, or is their business, is their job to teach them things, but it's more your responsibility to know that they learn them. The teacher is teaching, but it's more of our responsibility to know that our children are learning what they need to learn. Amen? Amen. So I thank God, you know, but I'm praising God. And that same child, Erica, we've gone through 1, 2, 3 kidney transplants. But the last transplant she had was like 16 years ago. And guess what? That kidney is still functioning. You know, she was my child that said, she was my child that you know, if I was going to give up something, she said, we got to do this. We got to do this. And you know, I thank God too for her, for being a kind of mother. The word tenacity, I learned that word later in life, but tenacity means that you're going to do whatever you need to do to get it done. Whatever it is you need to do to get it done. Proverbs 31 says she rides up early in the morning and get her stuff started. She goes to bed late at night to make sure it's done. Amen? Amen. So us as those kind of women, you know, I thank God. My daughter, she went to school. I'd have to go to school sometime to explain to the children what was going on with her. And if you make fun of her, she's not going to want to come to school. Because she was big, and it wasn't that she was big because she was fat. She was just big because she was all bloated with this all water. She had, you know how those Popeye fish look? Erica's eyes were huge like that, but she wanted to go to school. So I'd have to go to school and explain to the children why she looked this way and why she, you know, when she came back to school, they didn't even know who she was. Because as a teenager, she wore a size 1, okay? But when she got to be sick, when her body would get sick, she could go up as high as a size 14. And that's all fluids that was on her. But this child never gave up. And I required of the teachers, you know, of her doctor too, whatever you would do for your child, if your child was sick, do for mine. Whatever the teachers, whatever you would teach, if your child was sick, teach mine. You know, and she was one child that got with my other two children. I was kind of hard on them with their grades and stuff. She said, well, Mom, how come you're not that hard on me? I want to do it too. You know, and out of 3 children, we've not got any college graduates yet. But Erica's the only one with an associate degree right now. So, you know, but I praise God because being a mom and being you got to keep your feet planted in the Lord. He's your only help. He is our only help. Keeping your feet solid and planted in the Lord. You got to be this tree that's moving, that's blowing in the wind, but it ain't breaking down. Amen. So, you know, and I've been through, my daughter has had surgery. They had to cut her from here all the way down because something was going on in her body and they didn't know what it was. They had to open her up and wash all her organs off with water. Sew her back up, okay? But this child didn't give up on God, you know? And right now, she's a beautiful young lady in the Lord. She's 37 years old right now and going on in the Lord. Just got her first full-time job. Amen, amen. So we're praising God for that. But God is good. And through all of this, through everything that I've gone through, experience after experience, ups and downs and all the ways around, God has been my help. God has been my keeper. God has been my mind. When I could have lost my mind, when I could have lost my mind, and I was at one point in my life where I could have lost my mind over an incident that happened, and you know who kind of hugged me, and when this thing happened to me, there was one sister from my church. She said, uh-uh, JoJo, you ain't going out like this. And she came to me, and she grabbed me, and she held me. And she held me really, really, really tight because I was hollering, I was screaming, I was just going through what I was going through. But she said, you will not go out like this. You will not go out like this. So we're encouragers of one another, you know, but that sister held me until my pastor got there. And when my pastor got to where I was, you know what I was doing? Still hollering and screaming and throwing myself. And you know what my pastor did with me? He threw himself to wherever I rolled, he rolled. You ain't going like this, Sister Johnny. Because the devil wants to take your mind. He wants to take your mind. He wants us to give up as mothers and say the boom, boom with this and leave our children, leave everything and go on and do something else. But we, as mothers, as women of God, we have got to stand there and stand through everything. But no matter what it is, the scriptures say for us to stand, we got to learn to stand. If you can't stand on your own, you can always stand and will stand through the word of God, through the hope of God, through the prayers of the saints of God that are here. Each one of you are special to me. You know, I praise God and I praise God. You know, I was so busy last week. I'll testify now, sit down. I was so busy last week. Stepping in a mom's shoes where needed. That I just remembered today was Sunday. And I plainly skipped over Friday. And I usually go and visit Sister Madeline on Fridays. And I didn't even think of it until this morning. Today is Sunday. And I miss Friday. So I had to apologize to Sister Madeline today because, it's my intent. When God gives you something to do, you want to be fervent in doing what you do, very diligent in what God gives you to do because he gave it to you. Somebody else may have a wish or thought to do it, but God gave that to you to do. Amen. So one of the sisters gave me a scripture, one of my secret sisters. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Also, if God will give you the desires of your heart, he is my desire right now. Amen. Pray my strength in God.
Amen, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. And a happy Mother's Day to all of those mothers that are here. And I'll try, you guys can have a seat. I'm going to try and keep the word brief that I have for you this morning, but if you'll turn with me to Psalms 113, verse 9, this is a scripture that is really spoken to me as a mother, and it says, he maketh the barren woman to keep house and to be a joyful mother of children. And the thought that I want to get across is be a joyful mother of children. There's also a verse that says in Proverbs 23:25, and I'm going to read it in the NIV. I like the way it says it. It says, may your father and mother rejoice. May she who gave you birth be joyful. That God's heart for mothers is for us to have joy. There is a certain joy that only mothers have. There's the joy of being able to bring forth new life. There is no other joy on the planet that can compare to the joy that God gives us through being able to bring forth new life. And I'm sorry, men, but you'll never know what that joy is like. You'll never know that joy when you bring forth that life, that life that grew inside of you. It's just, there's something so precious about being a mother and about having that ability to work hand in hand with God, that we are his vessels that he uses to bring forth that new life. But as a mother, a lot of times if you come to a mother, especially a new mother, and you're like, oh, how are you doing? The first thing she says most of the time is, oh man, I'm just so joyful. And that's normally not the first thing that'll come out of a mother's mouth. Most of the time you ask a new mother, oh, I'm so tired. I'm so overwhelmed. This baby just keeps crying. I don't know what to do. I just need a break. I just need a break. And you know what? Satan has come as a thief to kill, to steal, and to destroy. And especially for mothers, I feel like Satan's main objective is to come and to steal that joy that only you as a mother can have. That's so precious, that's so unique to us as mothers. And Satan is coming to try and steal that joy from you, steal it by the fatigue of motherhood, by the struggles of motherhood, just like Sister Janya was sharing, the struggles that she saw her mom go through. And then when she had her own daughter and the struggles that she went through, and the Lord kept her through that, but Satan uses those situations to come and to steal that joy from us, to steal what God rightfully gave us. And motherhood is tough. I mean, you're not going to expect it to be a cakewalk. So how do you have that joy? If you could turn with me to Isaiah 40, verse 11. And this verse is one that is really special to me, because in my moments, I like to call them my messy motherhood moments, because a lot of times motherhood can get pretty messy. And in those moments, whether it's a literal mess of poo or of food on the floor or toys strewn about, it's the laundry, the dishes, whatever the mess is, or even if it's just an emotional mess, because sometimes I can be an emotional mess. Whatever that mess is, this verse has really helped me. And it says this. It says, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. And I noticed as Sister Johnny was speaking, the Lord drew my attention to that right there. That is what I want you to focus on, that image right there as I read this. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs in his arm and carry them in his bosom. Another translation said, close to his heart. And shall gently lead those that are with young. That is amazing. I've read the Bible, and that verse never struck me until I was reading another mother's article, and she brought out that verse that God's heart, and this verse specifically is talking about for young mothers, but it can be, use it in your situation, extrapolate from it what you can, but that the Lord's heart for mothers, especially mothers that have young, is to gently lead them. And a lot of times as mothers, you know, for me, I can get really hard on myself that I don't read the Bible enough. I don't pray enough. I don't do enough for my children. I'm not there enough. Or I don't clean the house enough. It's not as nice as I would want it to be. There's always a mess. There's always something to do. You can always compare yourself to another mother. Oh, she does this. I can't do that. There's always something, right? And this really struck me that we can be really hard on ourselves, but that's not how God is seeing us. Especially hear God's heart here for those that have young children. God's heart for you is to gently lead you, because it's a tough time. It's a very tough time when your children are young, because there's the demand that young children make on you. It's constant. There is never a moment that my children don't need me. As soon as I wake, they're my alarm clock. They wake me up in the morning. I have to get them breakfast. I have to change their diaper. Whatever. It's a constant thing. And so you can constantly feel like you're rushing around, you're doing all this. I love this, because in my, like I said, my messy motherhood moments, in those moments when I just feel the verge of just breaking down, there's nothing's going right, the kids are just being crazy and the house is just a mess and I'm just an emotional mess, God is just saying, just let me gently lead you through this. God, one of the things as a shepherd, one of the things a shepherd does is he leads the sheep. Unlike a cowboy with cattle who drives the sheep and pushes them from behind, Christ is coming from in front. He's not going to push us. He's not going to prod us from behind. He's going to come in front of us, and he's going to lead us. And that's God's heart for us as mothers, is to gently lead us. And so as I was thinking about this verse, and I'm like, okay, that sounds really good, that God wants to gently lead us. That sound of the gentleness, and I can get that with sheep. Okay, so he's going to gently lead them. I'm like, okay, God, what does that look like in my moments of craziness? When the dinner plate got spilled on the floor, when the kids are being crazy, when, true story, I'm in, the house is a mess, the kids won't even let me eat breakfast, and all I want to do, I'm like, God, I just need you. So I get my Bible, and I sit on the couch, and I'm like, okay, I'm just going to read the Bible for a bit, and like, you know, get my sanity. And as I'm sitting there on the couch with my Bible on my lap, my three-year-old comes and sits next to me, puts his feet on my lap, and just starts kicking. And my precious little one-year-old comes to my lap and just starts pinching my kneecap. And in that moment, I could not read the Bible. I was just like, I literally just went away from them and just laid on the floor. And all I could do was, Lord, help me. In those moments, what does that look like? What does that look like for the Lord to gently lead us? And so I looked at that word. Well, that phrase, gently lead, and it's one word in the Hebrew, and it's nahal, and it has beautiful meanings that it's used throughout Scripture to mean to lead to a watering place and to cause to rest there. I picture just this beautiful valley with this trickling brook running through it and maybe a willow tree or something, and the Lord is just trying to gently lead me to that place, gently lead me to this beautiful place where there's the water to help quench my thirst, and there's this beautiful place to rest. And then it says the next usage of that word is to lead to a destination or a goal. And I've got to tell you, as a mother sometimes, I feel like there's never an end. There's never a destination that I'm getting to. I feel like sometimes I'm always on a treadmill. I'm always just going, 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 and getting nowhere. I can check one thing off my list, but as soon as I check one thing, there's another thing that pops right on there, and there's never that completion. There's always another diaper to change. There's always another meal to prepare. There's always another thing I've got to clean, and then once I clean it, I go back and it's messy again. It's unending. And so a lot of times I'm like, yeah, God, that sounds pretty good, that there's a goal. There is a goal. There is a destination that I'm going this. And the third point is that it's to lead you to a place of refreshing, such as with food for the lambs, that he's bringing us rest. He's bringing us to a destination and to our goal, and he's bringing us to a place of refreshing. So what does that look like? And so when examining that, when you look at rest, when you look at reaching our destination, and when you look at getting that refreshing that you need in those moments, how do you get that? How do you reclaim through those messy moments the joy that God has for you as a mother? How do you take that joy back that Satan has stolen from you? And this is in the closing of it, Psalms 16 and 11. And it says, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." That even though you're in the middle of that situation, you can also be completely in the presence of God. That there's a song that says that he's as close as the mention of his name. The Bible says that if we would draw nigh to him, that he would draw nigh to us. And that can be as simple as you laying on, like I did, just laying out on the floor, literally, and just saying, "Lord, help me." That's all I said. That's all I had the mental capacity to say. And that simple me just reaching out to God, he just changed my whole day around. Even though the situations didn't necessarily change, the dishes were still in the sink, the laundry was still piled on the floor, the kids were, they're kids, they're still a 3 and a 1-year-old, that didn't change. But through that, I was able to see the joy that God had for me, the joy of just seeing their smile, hearing their laughter, hearing them come to me and say, "Mommy, Mommy," those little things that by just reaching out to God, it's like he opened my eyes to the things that I wasn't seeing before. And I just want to encourage you mothers that are out there, and especially those that have young children and are in the trenches, as I've heard it put, of motherhood, that throughout all this, that God's desire for you is joy. He has come to give you joy, the joy of being a mother, a joy that is unlike anything else. Just like when someone receives the Holy Ghost for the first time and there's just this joy. Why? Because there's a birth that just took place. There's a joy. And right now, I just want to declare joy over you mothers. And through that, just reach out to the Lord. Seek his presence. And that can just be as much as just out to him. Just calling, like the verse, like the song says, he's as close as the mention of his name. Just call out to him in those messy motherhood moments. Just call out to the Lord and allow him to gently lead you into that joy.
Amen.